This morning I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It has been recorded in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 8th chapter. I shall begin reading with the first verse. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. And so we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your parts. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity of attending a church conference in Bradenton, Florida. There were about 500 people in attendance. Discovered that many of these people were regular participants in the conferences that took place at this conference center. Some of us were visiting there for the first time. But during the worship service on the first night, the man who was leading the worship service stood before the congregation and with some excitement in his voice, he announced, "Blessing time." That whole congregation broke into applause. There was an attitude of excitement and anticipation. I really didn't know what to expect. But as I looked around, I was expecting some mighty miracle or the power of God to fall, or at least some well-known man to come and share his testimony. I imagine my surprise when the man went on to announce it was time to receive the offering. You know, whatever I expected to happen, the last thing on my list was the offering. I don't know about you, but that is not the usual response I see to receiving the offering. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time at Central Church that the ushers came forward to receive the offering and you applauded? Or there was an atmosphere of excitement and anticipation of what you were going to participate in that service? But you know, the more I think about that, the more I am convinced that that kind of an anticipation ought to be the attitude of God's people to stewardship. I think that the Apostle Paul was addressing that kind of an attitude when he shares with us about the church in Macedonia. I want you to listen to what he said. I can testify that they gave of their means and beyond. In fact, he said, they literally begged us to receive an offering. Can you imagine that? People who are so excited about giving that they beg for the opportunity to do that. Today is Stewardship Sunday at Central Church. It's a time when we pause and we examine our relationship to the Lord, and we determine the level of commitment that we're going to make to Him for this next year and the work He has for us to do at Central Church. And that's true, we're going to do that as a church. Equally true, we're going to do that as individuals. And what the church does is simply a reflection of what you and I will be doing when we come to make that commitment. To assist us in the decisions that we are going to make, I want to share with you two things about these people in the church at Macedonia. And if we can understand their experience and then pattern our lives after theirs, we may very well be surprised at the level of our commitment and of the excitement and anticipation that will be in our hearts. If you will go back and read the scripture that we read this morning, you will discover the first thing about this church or the people who were in that church, is that they made a complete dedication of themselves to the Lord. All out, total commitment, complete surrender. Lord, they said, we are yours. You know, when Matthew was writing his gospel, and he shared with us the story of the birth of Jesus, he included an incident that has great significance for us. There were some wise men in the east, and one day they saw a strange configuration of stars. And when they saw those stars, they knew that the King of the Jews had been born, and they set out to find him. Their journey led them to a house in Bethlehem where Jesus and his mother lived. And when they came into the house and found the child, we are told that they fell down and worshipped him. That was an Eastern custom. And according to that custom, when you wanted to acknowledge the high estate of a person, you would fall down at their feet. You would prostrate yourself before them. And in so doing, you would say, I consider myself to be nothing more than your humble servants. You see, that's what these wise men were doing when they fell down and worshiped Jesus. They said, Lord, we are yours. We acknowledge that you are the Lord, and we consider ourselves to be nothing more than your humble servants. Let me remind you this morning, that's been the posture of God's people ever since. That was Peter on the shores of Galilee just after the resurrection. When the Lord Jesus met him there, I'm convinced that there flashed through his mind the fact that he had denied that he even knew him, and he cursed about that just a few days earlier. But you know, Jesus never mentioned that incident. He just asked Peter a question. Do you love me? And when Peter answered, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter fell at his feet. And we see Peter living out his commitment for the rest of his life. There was the Apostle Paul, withering in the dust outside the Damascus gate, finding himself in the presence of the living Lord Jesus, whom he had persecuted. And when he found himself in his presence, he cried, Lord, what would you have me to do? Jesus told him, and he made a commitment to do it. And we see him living out his commitment for the rest of his life. You see, that's what the Lord requires of you and me. All out, total commitment. No holds barred. No private rights. Nothing held back. Can you do that? Let me ask you. Can you look up from your knees when you are at prayer into the face of the Lord and say, Lord, ask anything at all that you want. And if it is your will for me, I will accept it. Even if it means the denial of my own plans and dreams, or that I will have to walk a lonelier, harder road than I ever thought that I would, if it is your will for me, I will accept that. Can you do that and mean it? Man, that takes us deep into the recesses of our own heart. That crushes our own personal desires so that our duty to the Lord is supreme. That dedicates all of life to the mastery of Jesus Christ. You see, our true life, our Christian effectiveness, our joy in the Lord depends upon the degree in which we can come to Him and commit the totality of our lives to His will and His purpose. But perhaps there are some of you present this morning and you have never made the initial commitment where you have accepted Him as your Savior and you have invited Him to come into your life. Have you done that? Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus personally? See, it's not enough for others to know Him. It's not enough for you to have been reared in a Christian home. It's not enough for you to be a member of the church. It's not enough for you to be an elder or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or active in any of the affairs of the life of this church. You must know him personally. It was Paul who said, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is where? In your dusty books? In your neat articles? In your controversial documents? No. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. That simply means that you could never know anything about God at all until you see him in Jesus. You see, it's driven home to us again and again that unless our faith is personal, it is dead. Do you know him? If you do not, you can meet him right now. All you have to do is open your mind and your heart to confess that he is indeed the Son of God, that he died on the cross to pay the debt for your sins, and invite him to come into your heart. And if you will do that, you have his guarantee he will do it, and you will belong to him. See, those folk in Macedonia had done that. And man, they were so overwhelmed at the expression of his love and his grace that they completely and totally dedicated themselves to him. That's exactly what he wants from you and me today. Go back and read the story again. You will discover that's not all. They also gave to the limit of their means. Yes, and beyond that. In fact, Paul said they literally begged us to take an offering. Can you imagine that? A group of poverty-stricken folk down to their last penny begging for the opportunity to give an offering. How could those folk do that? They could do that because they had experienced the wonder of God's love. And they had experienced his provision in their lives. And now their giving was no longer a matter of duty. They gave as a response to the love that they had received from him. Now, Jesus and his disciples had an opportunity to see the demonstration of that one day. They stood outside the temple and watched the worshipers going in. In that day, they received the offering before you went into the temple. They had offering containers on the steps leading into the temple, and as you came to worship, you would put your offering in. They watched the rich men giving large gifts with great show. And presently, a poor widow came by. She put in a penny. Jesus says, behold, she has given more than all of the others because she has given everything that she has. See, that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to give everything that we have. And he wants us to give it because we are responding to the wonder of his love for us. Let me say to you this morning, I do not know what kind of a commitment that you're going to make. I know the kind of commitment you ought to make. But I don't know what the commitment that you will make. But I want you to understand this. The commitment that we make will not be made because we have been convinced of some urgent need. It will not be made because we are overwhelmed with the mass of human suffering. It will not be made to ease our conscience. It will not be made to satisfy the figures of a budget. It will be made because we have experienced God's love in Jesus Christ in our hearts, and we are responding to that love that he has given to us in his Son. See, that's been the standard of giving for God's people right along. That was David way back in those olden days. One day David paused and he looked down the past and he saw all that God had done for him. He was overwhelmed. And he asked the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to us? And then he went on to answer his own question. I will take up the cup of salvation and I will call upon the name of the Lord. That were those wise men who found Jesus and his mother in the house. And after they had fallen down and worshipped him, we are told that they opened their treasures and they gave him their gifts. You know, they gave him their gold. That represented their wealth. They gave him frankincense. That represented their worship. They gave him myrrh. That was a drug. It represented anything that would control and spoil your life. They took everything that they had and they presented it to him. There's the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians in Rome, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let me remind you this morning, that is also the standard of giving for you and me. As we come to determine the level of our commitment, we pause to remember all that the Lord is to us and all that He has done for us, and we are overwhelmed. As the love of God settles in our hearts and bathes our spirits and transforms our lives, we will find that our giving will no longer be a duty, will be a great privilege. And we will be amazed at the level of our commitment. We may very well even beg for the privilege of taking the offering. This is a special week in our lives. It's a week that we need to spend large amounts of time in God's presence, because we are preparing ourselves for next Sunday when we come to demonstrate the commitment that we are making. The commitment that we are going to make of our financial resources to carry on the work that God has for us to do at Central Church. But also as we come to rededicate our lives to Him. Let me remind you that the only worthy way that you will ever make that commitment is to recognize the expression of God's love and of His grace in your life, and ask Him to give you the grace to respond in the same measure that He has given to you. As you make your plans for commitment, I want you to think about the church in Macedonia. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave to the limit of their means and even beyond. And I'm anxiously waiting for you to come to me and beg me to take an offering.